Blog Talk Radio.
If there's someone with blessed, still with food. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running down. Me a dead, imagine cause I'm tapping up the copper and over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But let me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican food in a Dutch pot. And from the nose, the devil can't touch that. Tell Satan to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Whoa, 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 yeah.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me on this evening or whenever you actually listen to this message. I'm so glad that you have decided once again to study with me, and I pray that you would truly be blessed and that your family is blessed, because truly, you know, there's so many things that we are all facing right now that are challenging us. But thank God that when we put our trust in Him, He knows how to take care of each and every one of us. And so, dear friend, as we study the Word of God together, I pray that you would be encouraged. I pray that you would be strengthened, because all of us face challenges, but we know that through it all, God is still there to help us. And so let us pray, dear friend. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify your holy name. Oh, God, I thank you for this another opportunity to study the Word of God. I thank you for this another opportunity to bless and to lift up your holy name. I pray, oh, God, that you would truly move in a special way. Oh, God, remember your people. You know every challenge that they face. You know what their prayer requests are, spoken and unspoken. Lord God, you know the challenges that they face in their physical bodies. We know that you're able to heal. We know, God, that you're able, oh God, to deliver. And I thank you right now for delivering that one that has been bound. I thank you right now for delivering that one that is being tormented in their mind. Father, we know that you're able to heal. Lord God, I thank you for forgiving that one, Lord God, that is asking for forgiveness. Lord God, I thank you for helping that one that has been suffering with a suicidal spirit right now. We bind it in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank you for healing that one that has been plagued, oh God, with high blood pressure and diabetes, oh God. Father, we pray that you would heal right now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just thank you right now because you know everything that we go through. You created us. You created our bodies. And Father, oh God, you know how to encourage us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would touch your people right now. Remember those that are listening overseas, oh God, those who might be listening from England, Lord God, Scotland and France, Lord God, over in the Middle East, oh God, we pray for those in Pakistan, Lord, those in India. We pray for those in Central America, oh God, in the African nations, Lord God, those in Japan and in China. Father, those over in Australia, Lord, over in Russia and Ukraine, Father, in Belgium, in Venezuela, in Spain. We thank you, Lord God, for remembering those, Lord God, in countries all around the world that are listening, in Jamaica, in some of the other Caribbean islands, oh God. We know, Lord God, that you're able to bless them. Father, we just thank you right now for moving in a mighty way in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you for your touch right now. Remember your people, I pray. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dear friend, as we get ready to look into the Word right now, I want you to know that it is time to get ready for your change and stand up, rise up, be counted. God is truly looking for some folks that are willing to put their trust in Him. The Lord is calling for a generation of people that will rise up and once again become bold for Him. He is looking for some prayer warriors. He is searching out the crowd and looking for those who will stand in the gap for those who are weak. God is calling the church back to prayer and to fasting. He is searching for those who are coming out of the crowd and those that one or two that are tired of the same old, and those who are ready for their miracle and their breakthrough. I want you to know, dear friend, that God is looking for those who are tired of just blending in with the crowd, those who are looking to stand out and be counted, those who truly want a miracle. God has a miracle prepared with your name on it. God has a breakthrough ready just for you. He wants to prosper you, dear friend. He wants to help you. I know that you might think that it's okay just to make it or just get by. God does not want you to live in just getting by, but He wants you to live in abundance, dear friend. And I want to encourage you to trust God, to praise Him, to allow Him to enlarge your territory today, for He is bringing you into the land of more than enough. God is searching the crowd for some people that are armed and dangerous, armed with the Word of God and ready to shoot down every attack of the enemy. I'll say it one more time. God is looking for those who are armed and dangerous, armed with the Word of God and ready to shoot down every attack of the enemy. You see, the enemy comes to attack your mind, to attack your body. You've got to be armed, dear friend, with the Word of God and get ready to block and to stop every plan of the enemy that will rise up against you. Take time and pray and seek the Lord and ask Him to help you to be one of those who are armed and dangerous and ready to stand in the gap for those who cannot pray for their own self. There are some, dear friend, that allow the enemy to beat them down, and they become so weak that they're unable to even pray for their own self. But then when you stand in the gap for them, God hears and He answers your prayers. He is looking for prayer warriors that will rise up once again and say, Lord, I am the one who will listen to you, who will be directed by you, who will do what you are calling me to do in such a time as this. Dear friend, God is calling you for such a time as this for you to stand. stand in the gap for someone. And I want to introduce you to three things I believe that God is speaking to us at this time. And the first one is repentance. The second one is reassurance. And the third one is restoration. And I believe we will have time to at least touch on the first one tonight. The first one is repentance. For you to stand in the gap for other people, you've got to first repent. God is calling this nation to repentance. God is calling his people to repentance. Before God can use you in his kingdom, you've got to repent and turn away from everything that is displeasing to God. 2 Chronicles 7, beginning at the 12th verse, the Bible says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice." Of course, you know that David wanted to build a house, a tabernacle for God to dwell in so that the people could sacrifice before him. But he did not build the house. His son, Solomon, was the one who actually built the tabernacle. And so God communicated with Solomon to let him know that he was pleased with the fact that he had built this tabernacle and that he would, in fact, dwell there. Look at verse 13, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. It says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." The significance, I think, of verse 13 is to help us to understand that a nation that will not repent is subject to all types of destruction. A nation that will not repent will be subject to God choosing whether to send rain to their land or to cause them to go through famine. A nation that will not repent is subject to whatever God chooses to do to that nation, because God will only dwell with a nation who is humble before God, a nation that chooses to pray, a nation that chooses to acknowledge God as their leader, a nation that chooses to allow the people to worship God in spirit and in truth. You see, the Bible says if, and the word if signifies that it may happen or it may not happen. So in other words, whenever you see the word if, you should pause for a moment and reflect upon why that if is there. And so this if, that conjunction, is telling us that God may send rain to those who truly are repentant before him, or he can shut up heaven and speak to the elements and tell it not to do anything at all. I don't know if you remember, dear friend, I believe someone said it was in Georgia a few years back when they went through a time when there was no rain, and it was so bad that the governor of that state went on the steps of the governor's mansion and declared that his state was going to go into prayer because they wanted God to send rain. Dear friend, I know today that it is not politically correct for the governor to lead the state in prayer because of all this foolishness about the separation of church and state, which is not actually in the original documents for the United States. But I want you to know that this governor recognized that in order for his state to get rain, they had to repent. And so he went on the governor's steps, and he led the people in prayer. And I want you to know that the very next day, it began to rain in that state. People must acknowledge that God is still God, and that he is still Lord over everything, and that he is looking for folks that will rise up and be counted. He is looking for folks that will be bold in letting people know that right is right and wrong is wrong, and we will not settle for folks that do what they want to do and still say they're doing it in the name of the Lord. One of these days, dear friend, we are going to stand before God and be judged for the things that we have done on this earth. And I pray that all of us acknowledge Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and also do not lead other people astray. Stop telling folks that it's okay to live in the alternate lifestyle and be ordained. Stop telling folks that it's okay for a man to mate with another man. Stop telling folks that it's okay for a woman to mate with another woman. It is not okay. The Bible declares that a man cannot mate with another man, but that a man was created to mate with a woman. You cannot tell two men that it's okay to marry or two women that it's okay to marry. The Bible declares that this is an abomination before God. We need folks to rise up and be counted. We need folks to acknowledge that the Bible is still truth and that God is calling for the nation to repent. God is calling for men and women to be bold in speaking what the Bible says, to not back down when people ask you what you think. Tell them what the Bible says. It is not my opinion. It is not your opinion, but it is the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It is the word of the Lord. The Bible declares it, and God declares it. This is what he said in his word, that if he chooses to shut up heaven, to cause there to be famine in the land, to cause, you know, the animals to die and the grass to wither up and what have you, if those people who are in that nation where things are not going right, if that nation chooses to repent and call on God, then God will repent. In other words, he will turn away from that decision that he made to not cause it to rain, and he will turn around and send rain. I want you to know that God loves his people that he has created. He loves us very much. He cares about us. He cares about our families, but he wants us to obey him. Dear friend, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name, in other words, God knows those who are his. He acknowledges those who are his. And he was telling Solomon that the children of Israel needed to stop turning away from God, and what they needed to do was turn towards God and repent. And I want you to know, dear friend, that when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Bible declares that we've been engrafted into that family of Abraham. And so whatever blessings that he has spoken for Israel, those blessings are for you as a child of God. I want you to know that God wants us to humble ourselves before him. So the first part of our lesson is repentance. Remember, there are three areas: repentance, reassurance, and restoration. And the first one that we're dealing with tonight is repentance. Why? Because God wants us to repent before him. He wants us to stop putting other things in front of him. He wants us to stop worshiping our cars, our houses, our furniture, the men in our lives, or if you're a man, the woman in your life. God wants you to worship him as the true and the living God, and stop making material things your God. Stop making material things your God. We are too focused on material goods. We are too focused on things that are only temporary and cannot be taken to heaven. But our souls are eternal, and our souls will live forever. And God expects us to put him first. Look at verse 14 again. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. See, first you have to humble yourself, because a lot of people don't acknowledge they're wrong. They don't acknowledge that they're a sinner. But the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we must all acknowledge that we need God, that we need Jesus Christ, that we need to surrender everything to God. The Bible says we must humble ourselves, pray, and seek his face. Sometimes people, they pray, but they're not truly seeking God's face. They're basically just praying out of ritual or praying just because they feel like it. And God says, don't just pray out of ritual. Pray because you're actually hungering after me. Pray because you're actually seeking to understand the things of God, that your heart is crying after God. Your heart is crying out to him. Seek God because you're thirsty. You're thirsting after righteousness, and you're thirsty for the things of God, and you want to know more about God, and you want to seek his face. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself, pray, and seek his face. And then the last part is, and turn away from your wicked way. God wants us to humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn. You see, you could do all of that, but never turn away from the thing that you're doing wrong. And if you don't turn away from the thing that you're doing wrong, it's almost as if you're wasting your time, because you have to do all of it. You have to turn from your wicked way. You cannot keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and think that you're going to make it into heaven, because you're not. You see, you must do all of it. You must humble yourself. You must seek the face of God, meaning when you seek God, what you're actually doing is saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to change my life. I want you to change my heart. And when you do that, then he comes to live or abide in you, abide in your heart. And then he is the one living in you and through you that helps you to turn away from that which is wrong. Dear friend, the Lord is calling you right now. He is calling you to become that man or that woman that will stand up in the crowd, that will stand up and say, I am a Christian. I am a child of God. I'm humbling myself before God. I'm seeking his face. I'm praying. I'm turning away from everything that God said in his word that is wrong. And I am ready to be one of those in the nation. I'm not just talking about in your community, in your neighborhood. I'm talking about in the nation, in the world. You need to be that one that will stand up, and wherever you are, lift up your voice and cry and tell the nations that Jesus is coming again soon and very soon, and that the nations need to get ready. I want you to know, dear friend, that Jesus is coming again soon and very soon. The nations need to get ready, not just your little town or your state or your country. The nations need to get ready. The nations need to hear this message that Jesus is coming again soon and very soon, and he is calling us to repent. He is calling us to turn back to him, turn back to prayer, turn back to calling on the name of Jesus once again. We have become complacent, dear friend, sitting around in our churches, coming to church on Sundays and looking good and dressed up, smell good and what have you. Dear friend, the people who need to become Christians are out in the highways and the byways. They are waiting for you to knock on their door. They are waiting for you to stop and talk to them. They're sleeping on the bridges. They're sleeping, you know, in ATM places. I want you to know I was in Miami just about a week or so ago, and I drove by this bank through the drive-thru, and in the drive-thru, it was a weekend, and they knew that the bank was closed, and their friend, two people were sleeping underneath there because they recognized that it was a place that they could have shelter from the rain. And so they were sleeping right where the drive-through is for the ATM at a bank that was closed for the weekend. I want you to know, dear friend, that there are many people out there that are longing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're longing for someone to show them some love. They're longing for someone to help them to change their life. But you cannot help someone else to change their life if you have not first changed your life. So, dear friend, I want to encourage you to surrender your life to the Lord and then begin to do evangelism. The world awaits you. The world is waiting for you to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. The world is waiting to hear that there is still a God in heaven that cares about them. The world is waiting to hear that even in the midst of crisis, God is still around, that God loves them and that God cares about them. Dear friend, the world is waiting to hear that Christians are still alive and well, that they are not hiding, they're not running, and even in the midst of perversity, even in the midst of immorality, that there are some that are not immoral. There are some that are still standing up for what the Word of God says. There are some that are still standing on the promises of God. Dear friend, I want to encourage you, rise up, stand up, and be counted, because God is calling a nation back to himself. He is calling a nation back to prayer, back to the study of the Word of God, and it is time. It is time, dear friend, that we let the nations that Jesus is coming again soon and very soon. They have no need to fear that the world is going to end suddenly and that they will not have the opportunity. They have the opportunity right now. Dear friend, you have the opportunity right now. You have that opportunity right now to repent, to turn away from things that are wrong, and to declare to the world that it is time. It is now time to turn again to God. God, dear friend, has a miracle waiting just for you. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will see magnificent changes in your life. Are you looking for change, dear friend? Are you looking for miraculous things to happen in your life? Are you looking to prosper? Are you looking for your basket to be overflowing and never empty? Well, dear friend, when you put your trust in God, God promises to bless you. He promises in his word that he will take care of you. You won't have to worry about clothing, about a change of clothing, food, or anything, because he promised us that just the way that he adorns, the lilies of the field, and just the way that he is able to feed the ravens and the birds of the air, just the way he is able to take care of everything in nature, he is able to take care of us. Dear friend, you will have food on your table. You'll have a place to live. Dear friend, you'll have transportation to get back and forth to work. You don't have to worry, because God is able to provide for every need that you have. Don't lose any sleep. Don't worry, because God has a plan for your life, and he is working it out right now. Right now. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strengthened, because God loves you very, very, very much. Let's look at Second Chronicles 7, verse 15. It says, "Now mine eyes shall be opened and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." Now, notice what God says, that he is listening. He is paying attention to his people. He says, "I have chosen and sanctified this place that my name may be there forever." Dear friend, when you develop a good relationship with God, I want you to know that he promises that he will be with you forever. He promises that he will, just like he did with Solomon, where he said that he would sanctify the house and his name would be there forever, just the way that he promised Solomon that he would be with his people forever. I want you to know that that same promise is for you and your household, that if you would just put your trust in God, he promises that he would be with you forever. He promises that he would help you. He promises that he would guide you. You don't have to worry, dear friend, because whatever you have need of, God said that he would provide it. And so our first section is repentance. Number one is repentance. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Notice he said he will forgive your sin and will heal your land. What does healing the land mean? Well, literally at that time, it really did mean healing their land. But if we were to apply those principles to our life today, we could think in terms of God turning situations that were bad for us, God turning that around. We could think in terms of our emotional healing, our physical healing. We could think in terms of just allowing the presence of God to dwell in our hearts and in our minds. Being in such a state, also being in such a state that we are able to hear from God. You see, when God heals our land, what he's saying to you is, dear child, my son, my daughter, I am giving you that opportunity to dwell in the land of blessing. I'm giving you that opportunity to be able to prosper. Even when the odds are against you, dear friend, God can help you to prosper. Even when it just seems like an impossibility, I want you to know without a doubt that God can turn that impossibility into a possibility. And dear friend, if you listen to me often enough, you will hear me repeat that. And the reason why I like to repeat that is because it is true. There is nothing too hard for God to do. And it doesn't matter what your circumstances look like, God is still able. I'm a living witness that it does not matter how bad the situation looks, God is still able, dear friend. God is still able to bless you. God is still able to help you. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you. Don't allow him to misrepresent the truth to you. I want you to know that God has great things in store for you. He is going to bless you right now. Your blessing is already on the way, dear friend. And I just want you to be encouraged. I want you to be strengthened because God is going to take care of you. And, you know, when I think of the goodness of Jesus, you know, and just how he has been good to me, it brings tears to my eyes. It makes me tearful. Because I know that God has taken care of me. No one knows your story, dear friend, unless they have walked in your shoes. When they see you smiling, when they see you with joy and with peace, you know, they might look and say, wow, you know, just look how easy she has it. And they just don't know where you have come from. They don't know what you have gone through to get to where you are right now. So, dear friend, if you're like myself, that you have had many, many challenges in these past few years, and at times you just didn't know what to do except cry before God. Dear friend, I understand, and God understands, and all I want you to understand is that God is still with you. He still loves you. He still cares about you, and that the breakthrough that you're looking for is coming right now. The blessings that you're looking for, they are already on the way. Rise up, dear friend, and be counted. God is depending on you to continue to keep the faith. God is depending on you to repent of everything that is unlike God in your life, that is not right. God is dependent on you to get your life in order so that you can begin to evangelize and tell others about Jesus. Dear friend, time is short. So many people are not realizing that time is short, and God wants us to preach and to teach the gospel. He wants us to recognize how much he loves us, first and foremost, but how much he loves the world in general and how much he wants to use us for his glory and for his honor. Dear friend, I am always just so amazed at what God is able to do. So many times when I felt as if I had just reached the end of my rope, as if that rope was about to break and I was just going to just go tumbling down without any assistance, so many times, rather than the rope breaking with me tumbling down, God has just strengthened that rope, and not only strengthened it, but allowed me to climb back up the rope. I want you to know, dear friend, that it might seem to you that you're at the end of your rope. It might seem to you as if things are not going to get better for you. But I want you to know, dear friend, that even now, God is working things out. Even now, God already has that blessing on the way to you. I don't know who I'm speaking to right now, but God remembers you. God remembers you. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my spirit that someone has been crying, has been just pleading with God for help. I want you to know, dear friend, that help is on the way. You can send me a message through Blog Talk Radio, or you can friend me on Facebook and send me a message, Evangelist Faith Reed. Or actually, Facebook is just Evangelist Reed if you want to reach me. Just Evangelist Reed on Facebook. But if you want to tell me about what God is doing in your life and how God is turning things around, you can friend me on Facebook and talk to me, or send me a message through Blog Talk Radio. But I want you to know, dear friend, that when God has done great things for you, don't keep it to yourself. Testify. Tell others about how good God is to you, and remind them again that Jesus is coming soon and very soon. Dear friend, as we get ready to close another message, I want to remind you of our key verse, which is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And also our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, what do you really believe for your life? Because you see, what you speak is what is going to come to pass. There's life and death in the tongue. And if you keep speaking that you cannot accomplish anything, then you won't. But if you understand the principles in the Bible and the fact that when you stand on the promises of God, what you're saying is that, God, I believe you. I believe what you have spoken over my life. And I know that what you have spoken over my life is for me to be successful, for me to be victorious in Christ Jesus. And I am standing on that promise right now. As we get ready to close, dear friend, I'm going to pray with you, and then stay with me after the prayer, because I want to play at least one or two songs for you. Let us pray. Father, I just give you praise, glory, and honor. I magnify your holy name. I pray for that one that is listening right now, that one that is heartbroken, that needs, oh God, to be encouraged. Touch her right now. Touch him right now. Lord, I know that you're able, oh God, to move in a special way. Lord, I pray for that one that needs healing. There's a right ankle that has been swelling up with fluid. I know that you're able, oh God, to heal that ankle right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for that one that has been having problems, circulation in both hands, having trouble even holding objects, and the objects have fallen out of their hands more than once. I feel that tingling in my hand right now. I know that you're healing that person right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for that one that is suffering from multiple sclerosis. God, I know that you're able to heal. That one that has just been diagnosed with leukemia, I know that you can heal right now in the name of Jesus. And we bind up even lupus right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we speak directly to AIDS and rebuke it and bind it up in the name of Jesus. We speak to diabetes and cancer, all types of cancer, cancer of the lungs and the uterus and spinal cancer and throat cancer and anal cancer, all types of cancers in the stomach. God, we speak directly to all types of tumors and breast cancer and what have you, God. We know that you're able, oh God, to heal tumors right now in the brain. Someone is being healed right now, Lord, under the hearing of my voice. Someone is being healed right now, and I thank you for their healing and their deliverance right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, God bless you. Thank you so much for studying with me tonight. And listen to Brother McDowell, I Give Myself Away.
I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them, here I am,
here I am. give myself to you.
Jesus, won't you whisper that about prayer tonight? My life is not my own.
Praise God.
Give myself away.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can.
Come on, let him know.
I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them.
Here I am. Here I am.
Dear friend, I pray that you truly will give yourself away so that God can use you. This is the time to rise up and be counted. God bless you. Have a good evening, and may the peace of God be with you and your family.
Ah! Next time we bless them with food.
Second Chance Ministries.
Imagine God that task has come for all of us to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm in the priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. To be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed.